Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, everyone. It's time. My name is Nicole Alvarez, but you know, we are friends now. Welcome to the K-Rock DTS Sound Space. May I introduce Mr. Billy Corgan. Let's elbow. Let's elbow. Cool. Hi, Billy.
Hello.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sitting here and it's weird because I know I don't know you, but it feels like I do because you have been a part of my life, my entire life. And I typically don't speak for others, but I think I can speak for the whole room when I say that your body of work, your entire body of work is sewn into the fabric of our lives. And that's, it's true. And that's a powerful position to be in. Do you ever stop and think that there are millions of people that carry your songs around as if they were their own? And they unlock our memories, they act as friends to us. Is that something that is terrifying or humbling?
In the way that you ask it, yeah, absolutely. I mean, because everything from tattoos to people getting married to people having kids to mourning a lost loved one, and when they include your music, it's a really tremendous honor. I think the difficulty for the band has been that even despite all the success that we've had, we've always had other people try to define who we are and who we aren't. And I think until that journey is kind of done, we're still kind of in the fight of, for lack of a better way to put it, like, this is the Smashing Pumpkins. Because for everything that we've done, there's been twice as much energy around what we didn't do or what we should have done. And I think over time, especially with the new record, we've sort of proven that our way is the best way for us. We understand why it's not the best way for everybody who wanted Siamese Dream 2 or whatever. But for us, that's why we're still going, because we trust each other, and that musical language and that journey has always kind of kept us going. And even when we played the Hollywood Bowl the other night, I mean, we played a bunch of new songs, and that's really important to us. To not, and I think it's very much a message of 2022 to not let other people define what your life is, who you are as a person, whether it's your sexuality or your gender or who you love. Don't let other people tell you who you are. You be you. And ever since I was a little kid, I've heard, I'm doing it wrong. You're too weird. You know what I mean? It's like, it's always been part of my life.
Yeah.
I don't remember a time when everybody was just like, hey, you're cool the way you are. It was always something was wrong with me. And that extended into the music world. And so I think if you gave us truth serum, we're really, really, really humbled, particularly here in Southern California, by the love that the fans here have always shown us, always, from the very beginning, from the earliest days of the band. It touches us. That gig the other night that we played, I mean, it really meant a lot to us.
I want to talk about that gig. So the Smashing Pumpkins, it was the last show of the tour. The Smashing Pumpkins played a stunning show at the Hollywood Bowl, 17 magical songs, including We Only Come Out at Night, which was a surprise. I've been running after that song my entire life. And the night was perfect. Like, the weather was perfect. The set list was perfect. And one of the happiest surprises was seeing how multi-generational the crowd was. Mm. Do you have any expectations as far as what you're going to see when you look out when you go on stage these days? Or do you just, fuck it, I'm just going to go and see what happens?
Well, it really depends on where we are, because certain parts of America, it's very much like, oh, it's the 90s.
Yeah. And it's very much not.
And I get, no, but I'm saying I get that. Because for some people, that culture, let's call it Gen X culture, it never had like a second act. Even though, obviously, here in Southern California, New York, and Chicago, whether it's Blink 182 or Green Day, bands of our generation have had second and third acts. For many people in the country, they still see us as an anachronistic sort of postcard from another time. And so sometimes we walk on the stage and you're like, oh, this is that crowd.
Yeah. And you can feel it beforehand.
Oh, you can feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you'll play something like the fourth song in our set, I believe, is Seer, which is from our last record, the Seer album. And I go off mic and I do my little disco moves. And I literally look at 40-somethings like, with this, what is happening to Billy? What is happening?
What is happening to Billy right now?
Like, I'm comfortable in the goth thing and the guitar and the weirdness, but like, you dancing and singing to a disco song is just too weird for me.
But how cool is it to push people like that outside of their comfort zones? Do you get any gratification out of that? Because I think it's fun.
I think if you're in music and you're not pushing boundaries, I mean, why are you in music?
Exactly.
It's called the arts for a reason, you know? I once had a very powerful person in the music business, right down the road at the Chateau Marmont, circa 98, say, in an English accent, you know, Billy, it's the music business for a reason. You know, don't forget it, you know?
Don't forget it.
And that's cool, too, you know? It's what makes the world go round. But for us, there was never a map. I mean, we started as a psychedelic jam band, and we morphed into a pop grunge band, into a dark entity, into a goth electro band, into a even darker goth band. And every time we would do it, people would be like, what's wrong with you, you know? And we were just like, it's fun. It's like, it's a form of dress up, right? Yeah. Musical identity is as fun as dressing up. That's why I don't dress up for Halloween, because I'm in Halloween the other 364 days out of the year.
You are at a point in your career where your body of work is so good and successful, it's gold. You could easily ride that wave and just tour every once in a while. You could also ride the wave of nostalgia for the people out there that don't want to let the 90s go. But you have chosen instead, which is very, from what I know, very much like you, is to ambitiously step into your next chapter, which brings me to Autumn. When you wrote Melancholy, did you see the arc already that would end at Autumn? Was it all planned out?
No.
No?
No. I had such a negative reaction to, and I'm going to say this very loosely, Fame.
Okay.
It was so weird to me, right? Because I saw where Fame for other people was this really cool thing. And I don't need to name the names, but you know the names of our generation, where it was like, I like you being weird and the way you are. That's a good thing. With us, it was like, yeah, you're famous, but you're still weird, and it's not a good thing. So it was the double whammy of, like, you know, you go to the Italian restaurant and grandma wanted to come out of the kitchen and talk to you at 75 years old, and you're like, well, this is wild. But then there were all these other people who were like, well, you're not this, and you're not, you know, again, same quote, right? So Melancholy was my way of saying, I'm going to hide behind this personality of zero. And when I shaved my head and I started wearing the zero shirt, which I guess I'm still wearing.
Yes. Correct.
It worked in this weird, magical way. It allowed me to be somebody that I was, but wasn't courageous enough to be on stage. And conversely, the audience seemed to gravitate towards that cartoon character. And so I was like, oh, wow, this is actually working. This is kind of cool. And so I really leaned into it. And the songs on Melancholy were an extension of that, sort of like, I can be whoever I want to be today. I don't have to be who I was yesterday or who you want me to be tomorrow. And that you can see, particularly around that period, I think the band released 57 songs in 2 years.
Yes.
I mean, we just had this massive explosion of creativity.
It was glorious. It was like Christmas every day.
Yeah, it was really fun. And so when we got around to Machina and I announced quite infamously on K-Rock with Tammy May 23rd, 2000 that the band was breaking up, I'm a little sick, so I thought it was funny. Like I announced the band was breaking up on K-Rock. I might as well die on K-Rock too, which is why I'm here. I'm actually going to die.
Talk today. About a full circle moment. We don't want that. We don't want that.
But when we got around to Machina and the band had decided internally to break up, and then the album became about, well, is there a way we can do this in a creative way? And hence the costumes and the weirdness. And the band, of course, agreed to all this as a concept and then quickly abandoned it. So I was the only one living this weird.
Yeah.
And if anybody cares to know, the whole concept that we agreed to was the band had become such a caricature of herself that we were actually going to play the caricatures of ourselves.
Oh, wow.
So we were, if everybody thought we were bloated, insane rock stars, we were going to be bloated, insane rock stars.
Yeah.
And everybody agreed to it. And then once we started doing interviews, the band was like, I'm not doing that. But I was still doing it. So I looked really insane. And they looked kind of actually more normal. When the band broke up in 2000, at the end of the year, I never thought there would be a third act. But as soon as James came back to the band, I started thinking about this crazy idea I had about an artist in exile. And I pitched it to the band at the beginning of James coming back, and everybody just kind of went, sounds like a lot of work.
Did you know that it would bookend those two albums, or was there ever a point that it could have been just like its own conceptual thing?
No, it's chapter three of the
story. It's chapter three of the story.
Yeah, so we go from Zero to Glass on Machina, and this is Shiny. This is the third chapter of this character that I started playing around 94, 95.
How different is this character from Zero? Now that you've grown, you've evolved, you've experienced things, like has the character as well?
Well, Zero believed he could change the world. Machina, Glass, realized he couldn't change the world, that it was going to destroy him. And then Shiny, 20 years later, knows that he can't change the world. And the story actually revolves around somebody accepting, I don't have as much power as I think I do. Yes, I've made beautiful things, and it's beautiful, but I'm not that powerful. I just kind of want to do what I'm going to do. And I think there's something beautiful about that.
There
because,
is.
Look, when you're 20 and you're on MTV every 19 seconds and stuff, I mean, it's easy to get whacked out and think that, you know, because you talk about, I don't know, cows or something, like everyone's going to listen. And there's something beautiful about that. And it is more for youth. But I think as you get older, you start to have a deeper respect for people with different opinions, different perspectives, and you also start to know that, realize that the world is a much more complicated place as far as it involves power and dynamics and governments. And now, of course, we talk almost every day about censorship and Twitter and Elon, and you know, these are all subjects that are very much kind of in our face at a daily level. So, I'm glad I figured out long ago that my voice is just one voice in a much more profound and big chorus. And I'm happy to be part of that chorus. It doesn't bother me. I'm okay with that. But I also don't walk around thinking that if I tweet something or say something, like an army's going to rise up and somehow
fix the world via
K-Rock. You know?
That's fair. I want you all to experience Autumn Act 1 for yourself, so I'm not going to inject my opinion other than it's really, really, really good. There's one moment on the record that surprised me, sonically surprised me, and that's the song Hooray.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting a celestial disco dance party, like towards the end. It's a disco dance party, and you don't expect that from the Smashing Pumpkins. It's my favorite song on the album as of now.
Oh, thank you.
But it's just so much fun. It makes me feel good and roll the windows down kind of song. And I didn't expect that from you. Did that surprise you when you wrote it?
No, because in the story, and if anybody's been listening to my podcast, I've been explaining the story each song. But in that particular song, these kids who are sort of in danger, they find this robot in an old amusement park. Like think of Disneyland all run down. And they're able to access this robot via this information that they have. So that's the robot's signature song.
Okay, it's awesome.
And I saw Electrical Main Street Parade in 1974 at Disneyland. And I still have a very profound memory of watching that go by. And so if you listen to that song, that's me doing my version of Electrical Main Street Parade.
It completely sounds like that. Like if that parade had a soundtrack or one song that you want to play.
It's sung by a robot, though.
It's sung by a robot, though. Yeah, it's Hooray. I also want to talk about, there was an interview, and something you said intrigued me. I think it was Guitar World, where you talk about how Black Sabbath was your blueprint, and you spent your whole life chasing that sound.
Yeah.
But in chasing that sound, you very much found a Smashing Pumpkins sound, the Smashing Pumpkins sound. If you play a Smashing Pumpkins song, just 2 seconds, anywhere, people will automatically go, that's Smashing Pumpkins. Not Smashing Pumpkins trying to be nothing. So are you still chasing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? The Black Sabbath sound?
Oh, yeah.
What is it about that sound that you feel like you have not reached or accomplished or that's so intriguing to you?
Well, I think we all have those memories when we're young, when a certain thing makes us feel a certain way. And the first time I ever listened to Black Sabbath, I was 8 years old. My uncle was a drummer. He passed away very young, but he had this cool stereo and a bunch of progressive rock records like Yes and Jethro Tull. And the first record in the pile was Black Sabbath, Master of Reality. And I said to my grandmother at 8, hey, can I play something on a stereo? She gave me that look like, I'm going to get in big trouble from your uncle.
Yeah.
And I talked her into it, and basically just a little bit older than my son is right now. And the first song was Sweet Leaf. You know, you hear the Aussies cough or whatever, and then that sound comes in. And I was just like, it made me feel as if I was steering into the cosmos or something.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I don't know how else to explain other than I felt this kind of sense of agape, like,
yeah, I know the
wow,
feeling.
This is what God sounds like.
Yep, you know what I mean? Know the feeling well.
So it's the 8-year-old version of what God sounds like, but I've never found anything cooler.
That's amazing. This I could talk to him for hours, but I'm going to eventually have to let him go. This has nothing to do with music. This is just like a personal curiosity and for satisfaction. If you were to put a bunch of rock stars and artists in a lineup and be like, one of them likes wrestling, I would immediately take him out. I mean, it's not Billy Corgan. It's Weird Al Yankovic is the one. And yet you love it, and I'm a wrestling baby, so I just wanted to know when you got indoctrinated into that world, because I'm an Andre the Giant Junkyard Dog era girl.
Yes.
Yeah, you remember them?
Of course. I mean, they both work for the NWA, which is the company that I own since 1948. It's a great honor, but I used to watch wrestling with my great-grandmother, who was in her 80s, from Belgium, barely spoke English.
Amazing.
And my grandfather in his 60s. And so at 5 years old, I would watch these people scream at me through the television. And it obviously made an impression on me.
Obviously.
I kind of look at the wrestling thing as like it falls under the category of if you don't have any reason to not live your dreams, then you should live your dreams. And so I don't know why one of my dreams is to work in professional wrestling. But it's crazy. But I think the thing I'm most proud of, besides the fact that I've sort of brought the NWA back from the dead, is that in wrestling, most people don't see me as Billy Corgan, the musician. They just know me as Billy Corgan in wrestling. So I've had to earn my respect and operate in their world. And not everybody agrees with my perspective on wrestling, just like they don't agree with my perspective in rock and roll. But that's okay. But that's why I always say, it's like, I just tell people, like, a lot of people pull you aside in an airport and say, like, what's the magic sauce of life? It's just like, you got to live your dream.
Yeah, that's it. It's as simple as that.
And some of the best people I've ever met are, like, amazing nurses or amazing firemen or, you know what I mean, people who are super committed to what they believe in. That's always humbling.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to be, especially, I have very young kids, 7 and 4. I don't want them to look at me as somebody who should have done something or didn't do something. I always want them to think, well, Dad did what he believed in, even if it's insane.
Yeah, insanity is fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's worked out well for me, you know.
So he's saying, you do you, boo. And that's, like, honestly, the best advice is, like, you do you, who cares what everybody else is thinking or saying, just live your dream.
Just to interrupt, so we have a saying in our world, because I also have a tea house, sorrow is the family business.
The
Corgan family business is sorrow.
Before I let you go, I also want to say one more thing about Autumn and Smashing Pumpkins now. Your guitar work lately is on fucking fire. Like, just beguiled. And I think it's
Beyond the Veil.
Thank you. Okay, so Beyond the Veil. Like, you sound better than ever.
And
thank you. It's incredible. The last thing I will say, Sunday night I went to see Elton John's last show at Dodger Stadium, and I watched this beautiful man go through his body of work very sentimentally and whatnot, and then say goodbye. Do you think that you're at a legacy point yet where you think about what you want to leave behind, or are you any close to satisfaction?
All the time.
Okay, cool. Do you have a general idea about...
Yes, I do.
Are you going to share it with me?
No.
Okay, cool. I didn't think so. I just want to say, I hope that K-Rock at the end of the day has a special place in your heart, and I think you're cool enough. You are an institution, Billy Corgan.
Oh, thank you.
An institution.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you guys the man you came to see. Again, let's hear it for Billy Corgan.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop Early Access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.